It's like a fairy tale. It's this nice music and beautiful scenery. But we got eaten alive by these biting gnats. And
we want them to come.
I know. We had this spider coming along our living room. And I got to tell this. So I take this journal and I launch it and I hit the spider, right? Normally the spider's done. No, not this spider. This spider was big and it's like, poof, just kept going. I was like, oh man, big old thing. So I got a book and I was like, boom, boom, it killed, you know, smash. But anyway, I will tell you though, the people there are just wonderful. And the believers there, they are just so sweet. Like, they may not have much at all, but they give out, they do their best. They feed you and they share. And it is, if you go down there, it's a wonderful place.
So. Well, you know, you may not be able to go, but we're called not only to go, but to send. And those that have the heart, the calling, the anointing, and the willingness, then we need to support them prayerfully, financially, so that we can continue this. You know, the gospel has to be preached in all the world before the Lord comes. So we can hasten His coming by making sure that the gospel is preached all over the world, and that includes that part of Mexico that probably has not heard it. So if you would extend your hand over to this family. Father, we thank you for Joel and Stephanie and Eli and all the rest of the family, Father, that are willing to take the mantle of this missionary work. And Father, receive your anointing and flow with it, Father, even to unknown places, in unknown circumstances, difficult, with a lot of adversity. And yet, Father, they have a mandate, they have a mission, and a commission. And Father, we pray for your anointing to be upon them, Father, upon Joel and Stephanie, and Father, that they would have the mantle to counsel, to share the love, not just in words, but in action. Father, to demonstrate the light that you intended for them to demonstrate so that Jesus can be seen by that group of people. And Father, that the gospel may be able to penetrate and change hearts. Father, that they would know the kingdom and become part of it. Father, we pray against all the obstacles that the enemy would try to put, the stumbling blocks. Father, turn them into stepping stones, Lord, that they would be able to continue going the direction you're leading them. And Father, that they will do the work that you have called them even at this time. Father, we pray for the health that Jesus purchased when he took stripes on his back, for the whole family, for them, your protection. Father, you said that for us to believe, Father, we can drink or eat any deadly thing and it will not hurt us. Father, I pray that for them and their stomach and all the circumstances where they're headed, they're not used to. But Father, supernaturally empower them and heal their bodies that they may be able to adapt to that new environment. And Father, may all things work together for your glory, for their good, so that they can continue the mission. And Father, we give you all the honor, all the glory for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. We need to pray for you. Pray? Oh, okay. Okay.
There is one more thing. I love that we prayed and we extended our hands, but I really feel like the Holy Spirit wants to do something right now. If we could all stand up. On Friday night, we spoke about honoring the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I just really feel like you need to know that you know that the Holy Spirit is in you all and he's in your family. And it might seem silly, but I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants us to give them a round of applause for the Jesus that's inside of you guys, because you are representing more than yourself. So can we give them a round of applause? Come on, we can be louder than that. This is the Holy Spirit that's going around the world through them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, in you. And greater is he that is with them than he that is in the world. Amen. I thank you guys so much. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you guys.
Father, we thank you for the tithes and offerings that have been brought into the house. We pray you multiply, that you bless the givers, and Father, that you give wisdom to this house to use them for your glory and honor. And Lord, we thank you. We bless you for it in Jesus' name. Children, you are dismissed to your classes. Woo-hoo. All right. Well, we're excited about missions and what the Lord is doing. It may sound, like they say, that it may sound glamorous, but it's a lot of hard work, dedication, steadfastness, stick-to-itness, you know. On their trip down, their van had all kind of problems. They were delayed. They were deterred, all kind of things. And so, you know, we're stretching here things. Yeah. I better not get in it today. Where's Corey? Where'd he go? Oh, he is here. Okay. Okay. Well, Corey's going to minister the word today. So make him welcome.
I think what the Lord wants me to speak about today is kind of on part with a little bit of what you dealt with. So I think it'll work out really well. And so first, I just want to say God bless you. Thank you to you and your family. You guys are doing an awesome job. That was amazing to see. And with that, just remain faithful, remain pressed into the Lord. You know, what I'm kind of going to talk about today is part of that is trials. And the enemy doesn't like when we walk with God, and he's going to try to throw you off the path every time. So just remain steadfast and know that he's with you everywhere you go. So God bless. All right, so I'm just going to start with prayer, and then I will get into it. So, Lord, I thank you for being able to be up here today. Lord, I thank you for the time that we get to spend in your house. Lord, I ask that you just be with me right now. Lord, I ask that whatever you have planned for the church today, whatever message you want to bring, Lord, that it flows through me. Lord, I ask that your spirit just be the one to speak today, Lord, and that I'm just a vessel for you, Lord. And I thank you for the message. I ask that people's ears and hearts be open to your message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So first, thank you, pastors. Thank you for allowing me to do this. What I'm going to speak about today is just what it truly means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to be a follower of Christ. And I feel like a lot of times, you know, it can be misconstrued, or it can be changed, or it can be even forgotten for a lot of us in the church of what Jesus truly asks us to do and calls us to be, right? And so many people say they follow Jesus, but what does it actually mean? Okay, does it mean going to church? Yes, as a follower of Jesus, you should. You should want to spend as much time with him as you possibly can. Does it mean praying when we need something? Yes, you should want to communicate with Jesus as much as you can, right? So yeah, we need to go to church. Yes, we need to pray. Does it mean trying to be a good person? Yes, you should try to strive to be just like Jesus, right? But is that all it is, right? Is that what being a follower of Jesus is? No, not necessarily, right? That's parts of being a follower of Christ, but that's not what Christ calls us to, right? Jesus never invited us to live a comfortable life. Okay, never invited us to live a comfortable life. He invited us to the cross. Okay, what does that mean, being invited to the cross? That means dying. That means dying of self and allowing yourself to become a new creation, starving our flesh, making sacrifices, going to war, okay, spiritual warfare to be with Christ. Okay, so all the hardships, all the trials, all the sacrifice that you're going to make to be a follower of Jesus, that's what he's calling us to do. Okay, and it's hard. It's a hard thing to do. Okay, so I'm going to speak about a couple of things today that is involved in being a follower of Jesus. The first one I'm going to talk about, okay, is following Jesus means there's going to be trials. Okay, there's going to be tribulations. You're going to have hardships in this life. Okay. In 2 Timothy 3:12. It says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Okay, not might, but will. Okay, the enemy doesn't like when we walk with God. The enemy will try to do anything and everything he can to stop you, to throw you off the path, to make you question, am I right? Am I doing the right thing? Am I walking with Christ? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Okay, he's gonna try to throw you off of that path. If you don't believe me, we got two living testimonies of that. If you haven't read the pastor's book, I mean, it's incredible the amount of hardships and trials that they had to go through. But God was with them through every single trial that they went through, right? They never lost that faithfulness in our God, okay, and how good he is and how he'll take those trials and turn them to good, okay? But there is going to be hardships. You're going to go through things in this life. It's a fallen world, okay? The enemy is going to try to stop you. In John 15:20, all right, John 15:20. It says, remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Okay, so the world rejected Christ. Amen. Okay, they rejected him first. Okay, and if the world rejected Christ, how much more are they going to reject us? How much more are they going to try to stop us? Okay, and let's be honest. We live in such a fallen world, and it seems like it just keeps getting worse. Okay, it's much easier now to live a sinful lifestyle than to live a godly one. Okay, it's an attack. Okay, there's an attack on Christians. There is an attack on living a sinless lifestyle. The world will try to shame you, make you feel like you're the problem, make you feel like you're wrong for your Christian beliefs. Okay, we are the minority, it seems like, in today's world, which is why we have to press in even more to the Holy Spirit, press in even more to God, so we don't fall to that sinful lifestyle, so we don't end up like the world, right? We don't want to be in the world. So every day in this world, we got to make sure we press in even more to be one with Christ, right? The next one is 1 Peter 4:12. 1 Peter 4:12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has to come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Okay, so the fiery trial. Following Jesus does not remove hardship. It guarantees spiritual resistance. It guarantees trials. It guarantees those hardships because the enemy is going to try to separate you, right? The enemy does not want you walking with God. We have to remain steadfast in Christ when we go through these trials, when we go through these hardships, okay? He will turn everything for good. But be prepared. Be prepared. We talk about warfare all the time in this church. It is warfare. You're gonna be attacked the farther and deeper you press into Christ, the more attacks that are gonna come. But it's not for now. Okay, you are making that sacrifice. You are fighting that fight for the future, not for now. Okay, so remain steadfast. Know what the end goal is, and it's to live eternity with Christ. Okay. In Acts 14:22. Sorry, I know I'm jumping a little bit, but Acts 14:22. Acts 14:22. I'm just going to read one part of it. Okay, 14:22 says, "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." Okay, there it is. Okay, that is why we go through these hardships. That is why we remain steadfast in these trials. We have to go through them. Okay, and when we go through them, when we walk out at the other side of them, at the end, we get to live eternally with Christ. And I can't think of a better way. I wouldn't want to sacrifice more. I wouldn't want to go through more hardships if that meant that I get to live eternally with Christ, right? So have that end goal in mind. Know why we are doing it, okay? While you're in the middle of that storm, while you're in the middle of that hardship, that trial, okay? Know what you are doing it for. Know who you are doing it for. Know that He is with you in that, okay? He never leaves us or forsakes us, right? We can't always have that mountaintop experience. We have to go through those valleys. And as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, right? So remain steadfast in that. The second thing that comes with being a follower of Jesus, okay? Following Jesus means we have to deny ourselves. We have to starve our flesh daily. We live in sinful bodies, okay? Our body's desire is to sin. We have to fight that sin. We have to fight that flesh on a daily basis if we want to be with Christ, right? So I got a couple of scriptures that I'm going to read. The first one is going to be Matthew 16:24. All right. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Okay. The next one I'm going to read is Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And the last one I'm going to read is Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And then the last one is Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Okay, that's that Matthew 16, 24 through 28. It's in there more than once, which means it is important. Okay, it is important, right? The more it's in there, probably the more important it is, and the more we need to know it, right? So take up our cross. Okay, there is a key word in that statement. Daily. Daily. Okay, we must take up our cross daily. We must fight that flesh daily. We must make decisions knowing that God is using our body, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. We are vessels. That's it. We are vessels. This is not ours. Okay. Every decision we make daily when it comes to sin has to be, I am a visitor in this body. How can I honor God today? How can I let the Holy Spirit use me and my body today? Okay. This is not a one-time event. It's not a one-time thing. It's every day waking up, asking the Holy Spirit to help us. Every day, making efforts to fight that flesh. Okay, denying yourself means saying no to sin. It means saying no to pride. It means saying no to selfish ambition. It means saying no to unforgiveness. It means saying yes to obedience and saying yes to surrender. Okay, that is that denying of self that comes with being a follower of Christ. And I want to go back to the key word, okay? Daily. Daily. I hear the pastor say this all the time, and it sits with me every time they say it. Sunday to Sunday, it's not going to cut it. It's not going to do it. I can't just show up on Sunday thinking I'm full for the week. Can't just show up on Sunday thinking I'm hearing, I'm good, God's got me throughout the entire week, right? That's that daily sacrifice that we have to make. And it has to be an everyday thing. They can't be with us every single day. We have to make those decisions ourselves. We have to make the decision every day to wake up and be in the Word, to wake up and pray, go to bed, pray, worship by yourself, with your family, whatever it is, however you need to be involved with Christ in that day, make that decision because it's worth it. Okay, you have coverage. You have that Spirit in you that will walk with you every single day if you allow Him. Okay, but He's a gentleman. He's not just going to take over and do it. You have to allow it. You have to sacrifice, wake up, and know that, Holy Spirit, I'm here. What do you need me to do? What can I do today? What do we need to do, right? How can you use me? What's the plan? Where am I going, right? So allow that Spirit to move. Allow that sacrifice, that denial of self to happen every single day. And when we do this, we must remember Luke 9:57. We have to remember not to look back. Okay, 9:57. I'll read it. It says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and claim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. We cannot look back. There's no but first. Okay, there can't be a but first when it comes to following Christ. Christ is first, always. Okay, Christ is first, always. There's no but. Okay, if you want to make that decision, if we want to follow Christ, if we want to be with Christ forever, we have to dive in head first. We got to go for it. Okay, we can't turn. We can't try to sway off the path and then come back. We can't go Sunday to Sunday. It has to be an everyday thing. Okay, we have to make sure that we press in and we go for it if we're going to go for it. Okay. The third thing that comes with being a follower of Jesus. Following Jesus means imitating him. Okay, and to imitate means to strive to be like. And I want you to hear that key word, strive. Okay, one thing about us, we are not Jesus. Okay, we're not. We want to be. We want to strive to be as perfect as we can possibly be. We're not. Okay, we are not perfect. You're allowed to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. But every time you make a mistake, you come back. Every time you make the mistake, we repent and we get right with Christ. I'm sorry. Help me do better. I want to be like you. Okay, continue the walk. Don't throw yourself even farther. I coach football and I tell my players all the time, don't keep digging. Okay, don't just dig that hole deeper and deeper once you make a mistake. Okay, get out of it. Let's get back and let's go. Okay. So what do we imitate? How do we strive to be like Jesus? We imitate his forgiveness. We imitate his grace. We imitate his love. And we imitate his obedience to the Father. In Luke 5:32. Luke 5:32 says, I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. He understands. Yes. He knows us. He knows we make mistakes. He knows we're going to fall. He knows we're going to stumble. Okay. He understands it. He gets it. Okay. But he's calling you. He wants you to get up and follow him. He wants you to keep going and trusting him, okay, in those trials, in those hardships, wherever it may be, okay, he wants you to continue going through that repentance, okay? The next one is Philippians 3:7. Philippians 3:7 says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Okay. It says, count everything as a loss. Okay. What does that mean? If Jesus is truly our treasure, and I think maybe Elias had mentioned this earlier about the doors with the jewels and the gold, right, into heaven. Hey, if he's our treasure, if that's where we want to be, is eternally with Christ, nothing here matters. Nothing here matters. We have to be willing to sacrifice and give up everything in this life to live eternally with God, okay? He has to be first. Everything and anything else has to become secondary. But Corey, right? But Corey, does this mean I have to be perfect? Does this mean I'm not allowed to be happy? Does this mean I'm not allowed to have money? Does this mean I can't want material things or to be upset if someone wrongs me? No, I didn't say none of that. You're allowed to be happy. Yeah. You're allowed to have money. You're allowed to be upset. Yeah. All of that stuff is allowed. Okay? Thank God. Right? If we couldn't be human, we'd all struggle. We would all miss the mark. Okay? So thank God I'm allowed to do everything that I'm built for, right? That my nature is, right? I'm allowed to be imperfect. Okay? Yeah. But here's the but. This means anything and everything we do and are is the Lord's. We will make mistakes. You bring it to the Lord. You have hobbies. I have hobby. I love football. Okay, I love to coach football. It's fun for me. Every time I step onto a field, every time I try to step onto a practice, I try to glorify the Lord with that. Okay, I want him to use that to where I can maybe minister to others, right? So yes, the hobbies, use them to glorify the Lord in some sense. Thank him for allowing you to do something like that. Okay, thank him for being good at something like that. My wife is a wonderful artist. She loves to draw. She's thankful for that. You know what I mean? And so that's where that glorifying of the Lord, using that hobby for the Lord, comes into play. Okay, you can have all the money in the world. You can have all the materials in the world, but they can't distract you from spending time with the Lord. They can't be first on your pedestal. Making money, wanting things can't be first. That can't be above the Lord. The only reason we have those things, the only reason we're able to pay those bills, the only reason we're able to afford and have nice things is because of the Lord. Amen. Okay, that all belongs to him. Okay, so be thankful. Enjoy those things, but don't let them distract you from the ultimate prize, and that's living eternity with Christ. Okay, use those to glorify the Lord. Okay, and the last one was be hurt. Okay, if someone wrongs you, it's okay to be hurt. It's okay to feel emotions. Bring those emotions to the Lord. They can't sit as unforgiveness. They can't just sit on you and make you hate. Okay, that is not glorifying to the Lord. So be hurt and then release it. Okay, be hurt, feel the emotions, forgive. Okay, and continue to live like Christ. Okay. It would be really bad if Christ didn't forgive us. I mean, think about that. We mess up daily. We make mistakes. We're going to continue to make mistakes. People make mistakes. Thank God for his grace. We have to be the same. If we're trying to be a follower of Christ, if we're trying to live like Christ, right? That comes with the territory. We have to imitate that grace. We got to be forgiving, okay? And then move forward. So Jesus has to be priority. He has to be number one in our lives. Nothing can separate or be more important to him. We have to choose to see him as the most important thing in our lives, where every decision we make every day in denying ourselves, when we're walking through those trials in that valley, when we're trying to imitate him, everything has to be to keep Christ as our priority, to keep that goal of one day I'm going to live eternally in heaven. Okay. Now I have a question for you. Okay. And it's what I'm going to end on. Is it hard? Yeah. Yes, it's going to be hard. Being a follower of Christ is absolutely hard. It's not comfortable, okay? And he never called us to comfortable. He called us to the cross, okay? So is it hard? Yes, for sure. In Matthew 10, 16, he talks about that. He talks and tells us, warns us, that if we are going to choose to follow him, that it is going to be hard. Matthew 10, 16 says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Never tricked us. He never lied to us. He told us exactly how it was going to be. He warned us and said it's going to be hard. He told them, okay, the disciples at the time, to make the, he told them to calculate the sacrifice. Is it worth it? Is he worth it to you? Okay, and that's what you have to ask yourself. Is he worth it? Am I willing to live maybe an uncomfortable life, knowing I'm going to go through trials, knowing I have to deny myself, starve my flesh, imitate things like his forgiveness, his grace, his love, to live eternally in heaven? Okay. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's an example of the rich man. Okay. In all three, in three of the Gospels, there's an example. Jesus told him, the rich man, to give up everything he owned and follow him. The man dropped his head and walked off sad because to him, it wasn't worth it. He cared too much about temporary pleasures, his temporary happiness. Living for the future is hard, but is it worth temporary pleasure to live eternal happiness? Are you willing to make that temporary sacrifice to live eternally with God? So yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, it's going to cost. Yes, the world is going to persecute you just like it persecuted Jesus. Yes, you're going to go through trials and tribulations. Yes, the enemy is going to attack you being a follower of Christ. And yes, you're going to have to fight your flesh and deny yourself daily. Daily. Okay? But John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Okay? Following Jesus may cost our temporary comfort. It may cost us comfort in this life. It's going to be hard sometimes in this life, right? But it gives you Christ forever. Knowing that he is with you right now to get you through those daily sacrifices, to help you get through that valley, to help you with whatever you are going with, he's going to be right there. And if we could just remain steadfast in that and continue that walk, trusting and knowing that everything is going to work out for us, knowing that in the end, we will have Christ forever. Okay? And Christ is better than anything and everything you could ever imagine, dream of, and hope for in this life. Nothing in this life will ever, ever come close to the satisfaction of living with Christ forever in heaven. Okay? And so I have one final question. And the question is not, is following Jesus hard? The question is he worth it? Okay, so look yourself in the mirror, know why you're doing it, know what that end goal is, and tell yourself that it's worth it to live eternally with Christ. All right, I will finish up with prayer, and then the band, if you guys want to go ahead and start coming up. All right, let us pray. God, thank you. Thank you for everything you continue to do for us, Lord. We thank you even for the trials, Lord. We thank you for helping us and continuing to walk through us through every single day of our lives. Lord, we want to be with you. We want to be your people. We want you to use us, to guide us, to help us, Lord. You are worth it. You are worthy of anything and everything that we are, Lord. And we just thank you for how you're just going to continue to watch over us, protect us, and help us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for how you just continue to move, Lord, how you're just going to move and be with us and give